real rave than DG. And you can call me Full Force or just Richie. On my CV on the job, I wrote MC. And this is strictly for those who don't know about me. You see, I be the type of SUVs I be. I've never been one of the dudes up in the VIP. $7 is about what I'm spending time and time again. The only bottle that I ever popped was a Heineken. There's something you should know about me. When I had common sense, I walked the streets with no ID. So in case the cops ever pull me over to stop me, they can't get my name cause I got nothing sloppy. As far as I can tell.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're doing the show a day early. We're doing a Tuesday show because Thanksgiving is coming up this week. So I want everybody to share the game with their family. Doing the show early. Ready to chop up game. I just got in from Hawaii a couple of nights ago, and I'm ready to spit that hot fire, that hot ism. Today's show is brought to you by MacLessons.com. That's where you can get the Tariq Elite Live in Atlanta DVD. That's available now. All the people that ordered the DVD last week, all your DVDs have been mailed off. So you should have your DVDs in the mail in a few days. I mailed thousands of them shits off. We're working like beavers mailing them things off. So a lot of my players and players are going to get those Atlanta DVDs. Also, guys, check out the book Black Players, The Secret Life of Black Pimps. You get it at Amazon.com and get that at BarnesandNobles.com. Brought to you by King Flex Entertainment. And I'm ready to chop up some real good game. Let me put on some game spit music so I can get into my flow. Now, today's show, I'm going to talk about the excuse game. I'm going to talk about people making excuses. Because that's the thing now. A lot of us in our society, a lot of people like to make excuses for what they should be doing. A lot of people like to make excuses for failure. And what made me want to talk about this was a couple of different things. One is one of my listeners. I was talking with him and he was kind of depressed because he was talking about suicide and all that. And every now and then I get emails from cats talking about they thinking about suicide. Every now and then I get that. Because years ago, I told cats, if you ever think about suicide, you ever feel suicidal, don't go shoot up a goddamn college campus or nothing. Just send me an email. I'll chop up game with you. So sometimes you never know if this guy's just attention whoring or if it's some real serious dudes out here thinking about offing themselves. So I take those a little more seriously. So I'm talking to one of my listeners and he's talking about suicide. And, you know, I don't want to leave cats hanging. Because cats send me emails and they're trying to get in touch with me and they're thinking about killing themselves. Then they end up offing themselves and they got on my cologne and shit. The cops start asking me questions. Thinking I might have something to do with the shit. Now, I don't want to be on the first 48 hemmed up because of one of you crazy motherfuckers then jumped off a roof. They got me in a room, got me snitching and shit. But I digress. But like I said, I was talking to the dude. And the guy just had a lot of excuses, real weak excuses about why he wanted to kill himself. Like, yo, man, my family, they always shitted on me. I was adopted. My mama was on crack. Okay, dude. You going through a process of manning up. Shit, everybody has problems. You just got to man the hell up, my man. So what, your mama was a crack whore, whatever. So what, your family talk greasy to you. People have so many excuses for failing at certain things. We have a society full of damn babies right now. Back in the day, people used to go through some real hardships. And they overcame those things. They didn't make excuses and whine and want to jump off a damn roof every 5 seconds. People just manned up, they womaned up, and they had to handle their business. There was a story a few weeks ago about some hood rat down in Alabama somewhere. They cut off her welfare and this bitch tried to kill herself and two of her kids. She ran into a damn telephone pole because she couldn't get no more welfare benefits. So people have all these weak excuses for failing and checking out of life. We got to get off that. And that translates when it comes to getting at women. A lot of cats have excuses on why they can't get at the dimes. So a lot of these guys out here, you lower your standards, so you just stay at home and just fondle yourself all the time instead of getting out there in the game because you have this failure complex. You think you're going to fail. Or somebody has told you something slick when you were younger or done something to you, and you've carried that over. Y'all got to learn how to charge that to the game and man up and hustle up. Women, too. A lot of you women, some dusty nigga you dated then shitted on you. Now you sitting up in the crib listening to Mary J. Blige talking shit. Scared to date up. You stuck with dusty niggas because you think that's the best you can do. So you got a woman up. Fellas, you got a man up. Ladies, you got a woman up. We got too many excuses out here in the game right now. Guys are scared of girls. You're scared to approach women because you've overly idealized them. You think that they are almost immortal. These are human beings with real problems. And I told guys, I tell guys this on my Ustream a lot. When you deal with women, you have to, in your mind, take them off the pedestal. And I would teach cats this when I would do my training in L.A. back in the day. I get a lot of cats coming in from Arkansas and New Orleans and coming in from different cities. And they come to L.A. and they see all these fine-ass women. So automatically, they put them on a psychological pedestal. They raise these women up as being immortal goddess. They were not used to seeing all these fine women, so they placed extra value on these women. And by them placing all the extra value on the women, they became more timid and intimidated by the women. So I would have to help these guys get the women off the pedestal, not in a disrespectful way, because there's a real big difference between taking somebody off a pedestal and disrespecting them. See, a lot of guys will go that route, and you don't have to disrespect anybody just because you're trying to make yourself feel better. That's another sign of insecurity, and we see that a lot too. Guys out there at the club and a woman is fly, so you think cursing her out is going to make you feel better, if that's going to break her down. That makes you look like a sucker. Please, fellas, stop doing that. And some of you dudes on my Ustream, some of y'all be doing that shit to some of the girls too, and y'all cut that shit out. Because some of the girls on my Ustream page, they start complaining when I leave the room. Some of y'all niggas be talking greasy to the girls. So y'all cut that out too. We're going to keep it real fly. We're going to keep it real mackish around here. Again, you don't have to disrespect females flat out. That's not mackish. If they do something slick, you check them. But just on some he-man, woman-hating club shit, no, we don't get down like that. We keep it real player. See, the thing is, I take a lot of game from the old school PIs from back in the day. And I learned a lot from them. And one of the rules that the old school players had is when you're dealing with a woman, especially when these dudes out here pimping and they got a whole bunch of women and one of the women leave, one of the rules is they would always, the pimp had to take responsibility of that woman leaving. He couldn't give himself any excuses as to why the woman left. I think that's even in the book Black Players. I think they touched on that, but I've always heard it from other players, and I respected that rule. If a woman leave, it's your fault. You take responsibility for it. You don't sit up and make excuses like, oh, she did me wrong. Oh, that bitch was fucked up. Oh, she was scandalous. Oh, she's messed up. Why she do that to me? You can't think like that. The players couldn't think like that. They didn't have the luxury to think like that because they're in the game of making money. So they had to keep their game tight. So they had to figure out what they did wrong. So when they caught the next female, they wouldn't make that same mistake again. So immediately the street players had to find out what they did wrong to lose that female. And as my good mentor Rosebud once said, if you don't know why the female left, that means your pimping wasn't on deck. Because you should be on top of your game like that. So you should always take responsibility for your female bouncing. And that transfers into everyday life. If something doesn't go wrong, most of the time, you're supposed to take responsibility for it. A lot of us fall back on excuses like, oh, I got picked on in high school. Just like my player did when he sent me the email talking about suicide. So what, you got picked on in high school? High school is not the end all be all. A lot of us take a lot of bullshit we've accumulated from high school into life. Most of our high school classmates are douchebags. that we'll never see again. I've said this before. Don't worry about them. Don't let them throw salt into your psyche. Even if something crazy has happened to you as a kid, somebody might have touched your booty hole when you were a kid. That's traumatic. That's fucked up. They shouldn't have done it. But you don't let that affect the way you're going to react to people in life. You bring closure to that. And right now you have a whole bunch of dudes coming out, like these cats coming out on Oprah talking about they've been fondled. And I might have to do a show on that. I've got a pay-per-view special I'm going to do that's going to touch on that a lot. It goes real, real deep, though. Call Sex Magic. That's coming up soon. I keep promising that, but I got so much other stuff I'm taking care of. But I got a pay-per-view special that's going to really get into all that stuff, all that Roman Polanski stuff and all. It's a whole bunch of stuff that folks don't know about. We're going to break that down. That's going to be like an extension of the Illuminati shows. So you guys are going to enjoy that, but that's coming in time. And again, I'm not trying to minimize anybody getting fondled or touched as a kid. I'm not trying to minimize that. But when you become an adult, you don't let that hold you back. Don't use that as an excuse for failure. Don't use that as an excuse to be a skank slut. Don't let that be an excuse for you to be a moist download nigga or whatever. We got to get out of that excuse game. The excuse game is played. So what we're going to do, we got Players Day coming up December 1st. Now, we can pick that day, or you can pick any day. I want all my players and playettes to pick a day to just go for broke. Pick one day to just be extremely bold. You should be like that every day. But as an exercise, as a practice, just pick one day to be extremely bold, to do everything you've wanted to do within reason. And just do that shit in one day. Just knock it out. The chick you wanted to holler at, go holler at her ass. Don't worry about any repercussions. Any kind of employment endeavor you wanted to get into, go do that. Any kind of business you wanted to get started, do it on that day. Any kind of outfit you wanted to go get it. Splurge. Just do whatever on that day. That will kickstart everything. Everybody, you should do it on Players Day. But you can start off doing it tomorrow. Because that's another thing. A lot of us procrastinate and we make excuses on why we can't do certain things. And we lollygag and drag ass and procrastinate. And that's another thing. We got to stop procrastinating. You got to be bold about certain things. And knock it out. And another reason why I wanted to touch on that is because of this film that I'm getting together. For those who don't know, I'm getting a documentary together called Hidden Colors. The Untold History of People of Aboriginal, Moor, and African Descent. I'm doing a documentary. Actually, we're doing some filming today. We're going to be doing some filming later on today, and I'm going to be traveling the country filming different scholars talking about the true history of people of color, the stuff you don't see on the Discovery Channel, the stuff you don't see on the History Channel. And we've put up our information on a site called Kickstarter.com. And this is a website where you can raise funds for different creative projects. This is a website that a lot of people who do independent movies, they raise funds on this site. And the information has been on the site for a couple of days. And everybody, you guys can go and help fund this documentary project that we have. You guys can go to Kickstarter.com, go look up Hidden Colors and the information to come up, and people can help fund the movie. And this is what everybody does when it comes to independent movies. You go and get funding from outside sources. One of the rules in Hollywood is that you are not supposed to fund your own film. The reason why I did it like this, because usually I do fund my own projects. I come out with DVDs all the time, as you guys know. The reason I wanted to do it the Hollywood way is to get a lot of brothers involved. And I'm talking to my black men right now. A few weeks ago when the movie Colored Girls came out, a lot of people were complaining about Tyler Perry. A lot of brothers especially were up in arms a couple of weeks ago on all the message boards, brothers talking mad shit, all on my Facebook page. Brothers were pissed off about Tyler Perry. Oh, we're tired of Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry's throwing the black man under the bus. Tyler Perry's a douchebag. He's an asshole. Blah, blah, blah. And everybody was looking for my opinion of Tyler Perry. They were like, Tariq, we want to hear what you got to say about For Colored Girls. We want to hear your opinion. And when I did my show, I didn't throw Tyler Perry under the bus. The movie was cool to me. I have no problem with Tyler Perry. Some of his movies I like, some I don't. But I'm not on the whole F. Tyler Perry bandwagon. I try my best to support the brother. That's just how I am with black filmmakers, any black person doing anything constructive, and white folks who do some constructive. I support you, but really with the brothers, I go out of my way to support the brothers. So cats got mad at me for saying that. They're like, oh, fuck that. Just because they black, we shouldn't support them if they're going to throw us under the bus. Y'all remember when y'all were telling me that? I got hundreds of emails. Cats were pissed off. Just because they black, we shouldn't support them. And I kindly pointed out, but Tyler Perry, he did a movie for Daddy's Little Girls. That movie did not do as well as his other movies. It was a movie that showed black men in a positive light. It gave a nod to black men. Black men didn't support that movie in droves. And a lot of people don't do movies to cater to the black male population in America because brothers don't really support it like that. So a lot of brothers kind of got up in arms about that. Well, if you give us some we like, we'll support it, blah, blah, blah. Brothers was on that bullshit. I said, okay, let me call the brothers to task. I said, let me call these brothers to task. So anyway, I'm doing my project. And now this documentary that I'm doing, it was going to just be me by myself. I was just going to film it. It's going to be me spitting game. I was just going to have my editors really make it tight and fly, put it out as a DVD and, you know, make it do what it do. But I said, okay, let me do this. Since all these brothers are talking all this smack about people throwing them under the bus and you're tired of all the negative images, and I'm tired of it too, let's see if some of you cats are going to help do something about it. So I have the perfect project. So I decided, and I'm going to not only do it by myself, this DVD, this documentary, we can do it even bigger. So I got on the phone. I got scholars all over the country. The heavyweights. I got my man Booker T. Coleman. I got Sabir Bey. Sabir's out here now. I got Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. I got my man Phil Valentine. What y'all know about Phil Valentine? He's down. These are the people that's going to be on it. I got heavyweights. We're going to spit some hot fire. Not only that, we're going to get it screened at a theater in New York and L.A. We're looking into that now. So let's do it big. So I said, let me get everybody involved. Let's get all you brothers who was talking greasy, get involved with this project. Let's get some people to help fund it, just like they do other movies in Hollywood. So we opened up the funding and we raised a couple of grand, but something like this, I got pissed off at my cats. I was going off on dudes on Facebook because cats were making a bunch of excuses on why they couldn't donate and help fund the flick. Cats had every excuse in the book why they couldn't fund it. Now, all my diehard players, they got busy. My man Paul Underwood, he was the first cat. Shout out to him. So a lot of my players, they put it in. We got about 45, 48 people that have donated and contributed. But with all the I got like 5,000 people on Facebook and about another 2,000 on my other fan page. With all those people, out of 5,000, 42, 45 contributed. To me, that's a bullshit number. I got too many people on my page and this project is too important for just 45, 42 people to have contributed. And I understand that it's early. It's only 2 days. But with a project this important, I expected more people to get involved very quickly. But I was not shocked. Because we have 20-something days to do it. The website that I have this information on, it gives you 30 to 45 days to raise all the funds. You give them a goal. You say we're going to raise, and we're trying to raise $20,000 for this. I'm going to put up $20,000. We're going to raise another $20,000. So I start chopping it up with my people on Facebook. Now, what's funny, a lot of my white listeners, my white friends on Facebook, most of them wanted to invest most of the money. I wouldn't let them do it. Then a lot of sisters wanted to invest. I don't want the sisters to invest, and I'm not trying to alienate anybody. Because on this website, Kickstarter, you have different levels. Like if you contribute $25, we'll give you a shout out on the website. If you contribute $500, you get DVDs. If you contribute $1,000, you are labeled as an associate producer. If you contribute $3,000, you can become an executive producer. And this is how movies work. I'm trying to give cats a tutelage on how Hollywood works. Because this is nothing new that I'm doing. This is done in Hollywood every day. Some of the cats on Facebook was acting like this is some kind of Save the Children fund or some shit. This is how they do in Hollywood every day. This is how they raise money for independent films. A lot of people get involved. And brothers have all the excuses in the world. White movies get funded overnight like this. Not because white folks have a whole bunch of money. And that's a misconception that black folks have. They think that white folks are just rolling in dough. That's not what it is. What happens is that when there's a project, white folks get behind it. So a bunch of whites donate a little money. As you can see on this website that I'm working with, Kickstarter, you have so many projects, student films, short films, that make $20,000, $30,000 overnight because a bunch of their people get behind it. Even with the Latino films, a lot of the Mexican cats, they get behind it. They're not rolling in dough, but all of them get together, they put a little money in and make shit happen. With my Asian players, they do the same thing. Asian people, they put up a movie or they pitch for a movie. A whole bunch of them put a little money together. They get it up popping. We don't get anything involved because black folks, we always expect the most wealthy of black folks to take care of everything for us. Instead of all of us putting our resources together, we say shit like, well, damn, Oprah got a lot of money. How come Oprah can't give us the money? Puff Daddy need to put money into a community center. We have that bullshit mentality. We have that excuse on why we can't handle business. And niggas start playing the poverty role. Black folks as a collective spend over $800 billion a year. Black folks have money. I hate when black folks cry the poverty broke roll. Oh, I ain't got, man, I ain't got it. Ooh, I ain't got it. Oh, we need somebody to give us something. You have it. You just have to know how to pool it together. That's why with this project, again, it was almost sad to me that some of my white listeners, about three or four of them, they wanted to put up $3,000 apiece. They would have funded it if I let them. I don't want them to do that. And I'm not trying to say that to alienate them. I'm refusing all funding from my white listeners, not to alienate them. And I do that very respectfully. And I will let them become involved after we raise the $20,000. And when we raise the $20,000 among these brothers, then you can put some money in and that'll be the icing on the cake. With the women too. I don't want the sisters to put one dime in this shit because that's the problem with brothers. They always depend on the sisters to handle the goddamn business. This is something that every brother should step up to the plate and help out with. You ain't doing me a favor. I got the goddamn money. But this will show people that we're able to organize and not complain. I wish you brothers stop complaining about what's going on in Hollywood if you're not going to do nothing about it. Yeah, I know they do some greasy shit in these movies in Hollywood. And I was getting on cat's cases because they were talking about Tyler Perry. There's a lot of other people that comes before Tyler Perry with the movies. The Blind Side, that was real greasy towards black. I mean, the list goes on and on. But the thing is, brothers got to start doing something about it and stop running your goddamn mouths about what they doing to us. And when it comes time for action, everybody's twiddling their thumbs, making excuses. Brothers got to get off that. And again, the Hollywood game works like this all the time. This is not nothing unusual. In Hollywood, man, you ever wonder why a lot of people come up and they just come up out of nowhere? People be like, well, damn, because they white, the door is open for them. No, they know how to hustle better. What a lot of people do, a lot of white cats come to Hollywood and they'll fund small movies. They'll put a little money behind a movie to get their name attached to it. They'll become an associate producer or an executive producer. That's basically a person that put up some of the money or donated the money to a film. And they'll get their name in something called the Internet Movie Database. That's the Bible of the Hollywood game. If your name ain't in there, you don't even count. But they'll get their name in the Internet Movie Database. And when you come to Hollywood, the first thing they want to know is your name in that database? If you say you have experience, they're going to look in the Internet Movie Database. And if you've funded a number of movies and you've become associate producer, all right, now you have a little clout. Now you're legit. And people take you a little more seriously, especially if the project that you've funded has a buzz. That's why y'all saw the movie Precious, and when they won an Academy Award, there's a bunch of white folks on stage. There was so much many white folks on stage, you're like, who the hell are these people? These were the people who put the money up. And they're going to get their props. When something is successful, they come out the woodworks. There's a lot of movies that you think was a black movie, and the minute it wins an award, white folks run on stage. Because they put their money behind it. It wasn't even a whole hell of a lot of money. So brothers got to start thinking like that to get your foot in the door instead of just waiting on somebody to just give you the come up. You got to know how to hustle around all that stuff. And that's what we're doing with this project. I open brothers to come on up and become producers on this project, become executive producers on this project. I hired some cats, some brothers, to do the filming of it. I could have done it here. There's a million filmmakers and photographers and cameramen in LA. There's one on every other corner. But I got some brothers who's trying to get their foot in the door. I'm trying to show cats how to network. But cats have to want to network. And the fact that cats have not gotten behind the project as quickly as they could, I'm calling you brothers to task. No excuses. Again, this ain't about me. I don't need the goddamn money. I just want to show cats how to network. So when we get something popping off, this will show people that we did it. All these brothers got together and made it from scratch. Brothers got together and produced something. We're always sitting around waiting to get hired. We got to start learning how to, you got to start learning how to produce something. I keep saying we, but we're one and the same. I'm doing it. I want y'all to do the same thing. You got to learn how to produce something. Instead of sitting around hating all the goddamn time. Y'all niggas get off the world star hip hops and the media takeouts and the gossiping. I don't even let niggas post shit about Cat Stacks and Soulja Boy on my page. I don't want to hear that shit. Too much of that, man. Y'all get off that. That's why movies like Paranormal Activity come up in the game. Paranormal Activity, the first one, they made that shit for like $15,000. Doing the same thing that we're doing. They put it up on a fundraising site. A lot of people get behind it. They get it in theaters, make hundreds of millions of dollars. Everybody's foot's in the door. It's all about getting together and organizing. Everybody getting on the same page and producing something and not making excuses about it. You feel me, players? The thing is, man, it's a slave mentality that a lot of us have. See, in slavery, we're going back to that because a lot of stuff we do, man, is based on the slave mentality. Black folks, especially black men, will do things that they're allowed to do. That's why a lot of cats want to be rappers and athletes, because society allows you to be that. Society allows you to be a rapper and an athlete. They open the door wide open for you to do that. There's a whole bunch of people trying to get into that door, but they allow you to do that. A lot of brothers have been left out and told not to do other things, and they've accepted that. That goes back to slavery. Whenever black men congregated in a serious manner, that was always looked down upon. Anytime brothers got together trying to get something serious going on, that was threatening. They would always break it up. They would only allow black folks to get together for recreation. They would only allow black people to get together for church, which was hooping and hollering. But a lot of brothers and sisters hooped and hollered. That was a defense mechanism and a smoke screen, because they would send little low-key messages to each other with the song. So they, even back then, some of them were smart enough to learn how to communicate with each other on the low amongst all the hooping and hollering. Even with the dancing, they, during slavery, even in America and Brazil, they would allow black folks to dance and sing, and black people used that to their advantage. They would teach each other martial arts with their dance moves. Down in Brazil, that's where the so-called Brazilian martial arts came from. Brazilian martial arts, that's really African martial arts. And they would do these dances, and they would disguise their martial art training as dancing. And the Portuguese, they would say, these niggas are just dancing, whatever. And then what would happen, these brothers would see the Portuguese out in the streets and beat the shit out of them. They're like, God damn, what the hell just happened to me? They put that Brazilian African jiu-jitsu on their ass. So cats have to be smart enough to know when to organize. See, when black folks congregate, we still have that party spirit. Again, a lot of black folks were enticed to drink and party whenever they got together. As a matter of fact, when black folks weren't drunk, whites would, and the slave masters would make them get drunk so they won't be in their right frame of mind. They make them drink up more. They make them party more. And we still have that same mentality. Like white folks, you go to Starbucks, a bunch of white folks just sitting around typing, reading. You go to a bookstore, a bunch of white folks sitting around reading. Whenever black folks get together, if there's a whole bunch of us, first of all, there's going to have to be some music started. Then somebody's going to have to light a damn blunt. Then we're going to have to start dancing, and then eventually we're going to start fighting. So we got to get out of that mentality. We got to learn how to do stuff together without the singing and dancing and just handle some grown man business. And I'm talking specifically to the brothers here. And stop making excuses about why we can't do anything. This film that we have going on, this documentary, that whole thing, that 20 G's should have been made in 3-4 days. And the whole, there's cats giving a million excuses. Some cats are like, well, it's the holidays. It is Thanksgiving. You waited till the holiday season. That's bullshit. There's movies and there's projects on the Kickstarter website that's making hundreds of thousands of dollars right now. And cats make excuses about the holidays. The strip joints are still packed right now. The holidays have not affected the strip joints. See, we get together and we spend money on bullshit. We spend money on all types of bullshit. But when it comes down to handling business, that's when the excuses come. We never make excuses about handling bullshit. People run down to All-Star Weekend. They run down to the strip joint. You run down to the dope house. But when it comes time to handling business, everybody has every excuse in the world. One cat even sent me some shit. He's like, well, look, we can get money. We can get a grant. We can get some from the school. That defeats the purpose. I don't need a grant. We don't need none from the school. I want black men to step up and support something. I want cats to learn how to network. Because if we get this project popping from a grassroots perspective, that sends a message. That sends a very powerful message. But like I said, man, brothers got to get off the excuse game. And nobody has bullshit excuses like American Brothers. American Brothers has some of the bullshittest ass excuses I've ever heard in my life. And the thing is, a lot of brothers, y'all know I'm going to keep it 100. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Because one brothers will be bawling out of control one minute and then crying poverty the next. Right? You know how brothers, man, you step to a brother, you're like, hey, man, what's going on? Nigga, what's going on, nigga? You should have been with us last night, Flex. Man, nigga, man, we had went to the club. We rented 4 stretch limousines, nigga. We rented a stretch Lamborghini. Man, it was cracking. We went up in the club, nigga. We bought out the bar, nigga. We bought out the bar. We got the VIP cracking, nigga. We paid for about 5 tables and a booth, nigga. We had brought in these bitches from the Philippines and some other strippers and shit. Nigga, we had the Ciroc and the Moet popping, nigga. We were in the VIP, man. We had it going on. I was making it rain on them bitches, nigga. I had went down to the airport and went to the foreign exchange and got some Chinese money. I was raining Chinese money on these bitches, nigga. And then after the club, we had rented out some penthouse suites at the Waldorf Astoria, nigga. We were ordering room service, man. It was on and cracking. And you be like, damn, dude, you balling like that? Well, shit, dude, let me check this out. If you got that kind of paper, why don't you donate to this project? Give me about $100 for this documentary. Then when you say that to the nigga, all of a sudden the violin start playing and this nigga got every excuse in the world. Here he go.
where what had happened was when I had stepped out of the limousine, I had twisted my ankle, right? And because, you know, I had been drinking, and then I had messed up my Achilles tendon, and then I had to get emergency surgery. And, you know, that happened around the holidays, and, you know, the holidays kind of chip in into your money. You be like, your holidays, nigga, what the hell holidays you talking about? Then, you know, niggas always use holidays as an excuse. Then they start talking about holidays they don't even celebrate. Like, well, you know, I celebrate Hanukkah because, you know, I had converted to Judaism. And, you know, yeah, nigga, Israel got bitches, nigga. So anyway, but when my leg and everything get right, I'm going to give you some money on that movie, man. You dig what I'm saying? So that's the kind of bullshit excuse that brothers have, man. Brothers got every bullshit excuse in the game. And brothers got to get off that. We got to learn how to handle business correctly. Even these so-called street dudes. Some of these street dudes are the same way. You run into these street dudes, they balling. They're like, don't, hey, dude, where'd you get that Bentley from, nigga? Yeah, nigga, I got this Bentley, nigga. I'm out here slinging, man. I got weed. I got it, nigga. I got ecstasy. I got Oxycontin. I got cocaine. I got 2 meth labs, nigga. It's on and popping, nigga. I got 5 kilos just brought in, nigga. I got them Young Jeezy prices, nigga. 14.5. I'm slinging. I'm running the streets right now, my nigga. You need to fuck with me, nigga. I'm the dope king. And you be like, okay, since you the dope man, you the dope king, why don't you let me get about $75 so we can get this documentary about Black history popping? Then the violins come on with his ass. Well, what happened was there was a dope deal that had gone bad, and I was down in Miami, right? And I was in a hotel, and these Colombians had came in, and they had tried to rob me for my dope. And one of them had a chainsaw, and they used the chainsaw to cut off my legs, dude. And I had to crawl to the phone, my nigga, and I had to call the ambulance, and they had came and got me. And well, nigga, where your legs at? Your legs look fine. Well, they had sewed my legs back on, and well, you can kind of see the scar right here, but well, I put some cocoa butter on it, and you can't really see the scar. But yeah, they had cut my legs off, and one of my legs is bionic right now, nigga. I got a bionic leg, and the cops were chasing me, and I used my bionic leg to jump over a building, nigga, and I'm here right now. But look, man, when I get this money right, I'm gonna give you $3 million motherfucking dollars, nigga, because you real ass nigga, Black. You dig what I'm saying? So you got to hear that bullshit from niggas all the time. Y'all know I'm not exaggerating. Y'all know niggas just like that. But my point is, in general, let's stop making excuses and let's start handling business. We make too many excuses about finances. We make excuses about dating significant others. We make excuses about our careers. We make too many excuses about doing what we're supposed to do. So we got to start taking responsibility. And again, it goes back to the players. We can take responsibility and handle what we need to handle. And all the brothers out here, like I said, if y'all are tired of the CNN shows, if you're tired of the 4 colored girl movies, if you're tired of the Blind Side, if you're tired of Fox News, if you're tired of all these negative articles coming out talking about black men, this black men, that, why don't y'all stop complaining and do something about it? Because really, like I said a couple of weeks ago, it's like CMB. We all we got. Ain't nobody really trying to hear our excuses. They've been hearing our excuses. It's time for action. Ain't nobody gonna do shit. You wasting your breath with the excuses because ain't nobody listening. It's time to handle business, people. Let's man up with this game. That's been today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. I'ma holler at y'all players next week, man. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving. Somebody send me some goddamn dressing and some cranberry sauce or something. Holla.